So we'll be reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita today, continuing from yesterday. So let's just do our invocations for the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we are reading from Madhya Lila, chapter 3, text 7 and 8. Is that correct? And on the board should be text number 8. Yes? Okay. So the verse goes, the real purpose of accepting sannyasa is to dedicate oneself to the service of Mukunda. One can actually be liberated from the bondage. By serving Mukunda, one can actually be liberated from the bondage of material existence. There's a little purport which says, in this connection, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyasa order and recommended the determination of the Avantipura Bhikshu to engage in the service of Mukunda. He accepted the Brahmana's version due to his determination to serve Mukunda. The sannyasi dress is actually an attraction for material formality. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like such formality, but he wanted the essence of it, service to Mukunda. Such determination in any condition is paramatmanista. That is required. The conclusion is that the sannyasa order depends not on the dress, but on the determination to serve Mukunda. The previous verse, which you're supposed to read, says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved this purport of this verse on account of his determination, on the determination of the mendicant devotee to engage in the service of Lord Mukunda. He gave his approval of this verse, indicating that it was very good. Om Agyana Timiranda Sya Janan Janam Shalakaya Chakshur Militan Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurve Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasaji Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, it is a pleasure to be here with you again. I didn't think I'll be so fast here again in a class, but somehow Krishna made an arrangement. It is a great opportunity for me, and I'm in front of so many senior Vaishnavas, so I pray, I beg for your permission to speak on this topic, as I'm just a student on this line of bhakti. Today, you're all supposed to hear from His Holiness Shivaram Swami, who is a very elevated soul, and which I deeply appreciate. Whenever we are serving together in the GBC meetings, his visions is always so precise, so based on Shastra, it's just amazing. And the day he said he would renounce his position as a GBC member, for me, who is a junior in that body, it felt like Yudhisthira Maharaj was leaving for the forest. It was the right thing to do. He did everything that should be done. He got a successor. He got a plan, but it was his time. And for us who admire him, this was like such a deep and difficult situation to see such a personality leaving that body, even though he's around. And I hear that his health is also, he's working on it because he has extended himself very much. So it's not my first time that I'm faced with this my very first presentation to the GBC body on cow protection, a topic that had been forgotten for some degree, to be mild. The first presentation was a one-hour presentation by His Holiness Shiva Ramaswamy on Varnashram. And here I'm supposed to, after this presentation, talk about cow protection. But I prayed all I could, and in the end it was successful. So I pray today that in the service attitude of helping to deliver the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, I may be of some use. Hare Krishna. Yesterday we talked about this very interesting point of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepting sannyas, and we discussed various aspects of it. In a brief review, a very important point: a student needs a teacher to effectively learn. And a sannyasi, to be sannyasi, needs to be under the shelter of a senior sannyasi to be able to learn and to preach. So this is a very important point which we discussed, and that led to some discussion, reflection on the modern concept that knowledge means content. It does not consider the relationship between the teacher and the student. We also discussed how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually by accepting sannyas, he was deeply considering the people around him who would respect the sannyasi, otherwise they would blaspheme him, and that would defeat the purpose of his mission to save everyone. So in that mood of consideration for the audience, he took that formality, even though he in the purport Prabhupada says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally did not appreciate the formality. And there's a pastime down the chapter where Lord Nityananda will break his danda, and apparently there's a great anger involved, but there's a symbolic event around it, that it's not the dress, it is the mood. And that brings us to the very verse and to the very purport of today. What is sannyas? So this verse is bringing it down. And sannyas here is being described as the desire to serve Mukunda, the one who gives liberation. So that desire is where the sannyas element appears. And yesterday we discussed how that's where the chit potency manifests. Because of your attitude towards Krishna, Krishna naturally, as the reciprocating person and power behind the universe, that's what he reciprocates with the chit potency, so you have the knowledge. So when you consider, even in the material world, anybody wants to be a doctor, engineer, a lawyer, the three top professions, not a teacher, right? they need to be guided by someone very powerful who has a vision about that topic, that subject, a professor, and then he pursues it. But it's not the pursuance which gives that knowledge, it's his surrender to the process of learning that pleases the supreme bestower of knowledge, Krishna, and the material energy gives you that Shakti. So the process is universal. If you want to do anything in the universe, the process is to approach Krishna. But you may not know, you may approach material nature, and you're expecting material nature to automatically give you the reward. I work hard, I went to college, therefore, I got my degree, therefore, I'm entitled to this, therefore. But that's not how the chit potency goes. And one reason is how many students graduate and how many get the job. Some person comes from India, studies here at university, and in 5 years he's right at the top of a big company. What was that? What Shakti was that? We may argue it is just karma. Yes, definitely, it's karma. But also, it is the chit potency that he got in the form of the material nature. It's a perverted form of knowledge, but it's still knowledge. And it came to him, and he was able to apply that. So that principle of getting the potency from the teacher is universal in whatever you want to do. The common mistake we make is to think that that potency, that knowledge or skill is what defines and rules. So when you bring it to devotional service, you think that management is the thing. If you're a good manager, that's it. But if that management does not bring you to the service of the Lord, it's useless. Because it's secondary. The primary aspect is the service to Krishna. And that is emphasized in the Chaturshloki. There are four verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, ninth chapter, 33 to 36, which defines the whole creation. And on verse 34, it says just this. Krishna is speaking to Lord Brahma. Oh, Narada Muni is speaking to Lord Brahma. Oh, Brahma, whatever appears to be of value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Whatever appears to be of value, if it has no relation to me, Krishna, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy. That reflection which appears to be in darkness. How revealing. In one verse, the whole material cosmic manifestation has been described. So, the jivas, which are enchanted by the material nature, they are thinking that the material world has potency on its own. And by pursuing that energy, you're believing that this phenomenal world is where the substance lies. That is the illusion. Not being able to trace back that potency back to Krishna is what covers all the living entities. And to be able to do that, we must understand the Brahman qualities of the Lord. Why is this microphone a microphone? Why is it able to transmit sound, amplify sound? Why is it? Which qualities? You're not qualified to see the qualities. Right. The right engineer would say there is a certain amount of materials here which combined are able to amplify sound. So he understands that all the metals and all the transistors, I'm not an engineer, I'm an agriculturalist, so I'm out of my boundaries of qualifications. But he understands every little particle here. And because he understands that, and he assembles it, it amplifies the sound. So it is in every atom that quality which is there to make this material be able to amplify that carries the potency of an action. And that potency is Krishna in his Brahman quality, his Saguna Brahman, not Nirguna. So when you look around, you're looking at the qualities of Krishna, the wood, the metal, the people, the beauty, the ugliness, everything, all qualities are transmitted by those Saguna Brahman qualities. And then when you see that connection between that potency and the Supreme Lord, you actually think as they are. And that's what a sannyasi does. Because he sees the energy and he says, it's not for my personal sense gratification. This is for the pleasure of Mukunda. And then he becomes expert in engaging the material nature in the service of Krishna. And to exemplify this, I thought, what best than take a song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he was in Navadvip, where the scenery is taking place. Lord Chaitanya wants to go to Vrindavan. Remember, that's the passage. And then Lord Nityananda takes him to Radhadesh. And then he wants his bathing in Ganges, thinking it's Yamuna. And there's the whole pastime where they finally go to Advaita Acharya's house. It's very interesting when you read, because as you read the chapter, you enter into these verses, which is just food preparations. It's a universe of food preparations. And I was reading, I could see the importance of milk, ghee, yogurt, in these preparations. So if we consider eliminating all of that, the preparations become quite dry. Because it's condensed milk with coconut, and there's different kind of shrikhands, and different kind of preparations, which all have a very important ingredient. So that was interesting to notice. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is lying in those banks on the other side of Jalangi. River Saraswati, composing these songs right there in Surabhi Kunj. And I chose this song because I think it gives the tone. So it's called Arunodhaya Kirtan. And I'll just say some verses from the translation. It says, when the eastern horizon became tinged with the redness that heralds the rising of the sun. Everybody in Mayapur can see that sun rising. The Jew among the Brahmins, Lord Gaura Sundara, immediately awakened. Taking his devotees with him, he journeyed through the towns and villages of Nadia. So that's his mood, every town and village. The mridangas resounded, tatai, tatai, and the jajas, large metal kartals that look like small cymbals, that really reminds of His Holiness Japatak Swami. The first encounter with his in Harihara Kshetra, that was some vision of that. And that kirtan played in time, Lord Gauranga's golden form slightly trembled in ecstatic love of Godhead, and his footbells jingled. Lord Chaitanya called out to the town folks, you spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. Now, just fill your mouth with the holy names. Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari, chanting without offense. The mood of the Lord's appearance. You have achieved this rare human body. Don't you care for that gift? If you do not worship the darling of Mother Yashoda, now, then great sorrow awaits you at the time of your death. He has some vision. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Why then do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? You should understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and filled with various kinds of miseries. Therefore, carefully take shelter of the holy name and remain always engaged in His service as your eternal occupation. Desiring to bless all living entities, the sweet names of Krishna has descended to this material universe and shines like the sun in the sky of the heart, destroying the darkness of ignorance. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. There is nothing except the holy name within all the 14 worlds. What a sutra. What could define best how to serve Lord Hari? Confirmed. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is portraying this mood with his acceptance of sannyas. And here comes a message, and Prabhupada emphasized that a lot to his disciples, is that sannyas is not the dress. And we spoke about this yesterday. Shirada Gokula Nanda Ji Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman Ki Jai. I was lost for a moment. What were we talking about? Sannyas is not the dress. And that reminds me, you made the very question yesterday. He had a question to ask me. And the question was, correct me if I'm wrong, but the question was, if sannyas is one of the 64 items, do we all have to take sannyas in order to fulfill devotional service? Was it correct? That was his question. Thoughtful question. And Prabhupada does mention to Karandara in a letter. I think I should better read the letter. Here it says, it's a sannyas initiation ceremony in New Vrindavan in 4th of June 69. And Prabhupada says, we have got in our society, just like I am, sannyasi. Kirtanananda Maharaj is sannyasi. So we are renounced order. But there are so many grihasthas, just like Hayagriva, Das Adhikari, and others. So there is no such distinction that one has to take the path of the renounced order of life. The real of essence of life should be how much we are Krishna conscious. So, in answer to your question, Prabhupada is really saying the essence of sannyas is what's stated here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the desire to serve Krishna. And that's also what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. I've opened a little shop in the market of the holy name. And my burning desire is to progress and to develop that shop so every one of us, including you, can take a little profit. So that is the mood of serving Krishna that established in our sampradaya. And then later on in the purport of last of yesterday's verse, Prabhupada also spoke about Varnashram because sannyasi is a consideration within Varnashram. And we did mention how Prabhupada did establish very well all our ashrams. It is the varnas where we have a little bit of, let's say, extra attention to understand. And the sannyasi has been very well described by Srila Prabhupada and by his disciples. And also the Brahminical sphere is very much clear. It is really the Vaishya domain which is not clear. And we all thought that Varnashram meant going back to the farm, starting farms, planting carrots was the mantra. If you don't plant carrots, you're not part of the team. And the combination between the philosophy and the lifestyle is where the secret lies. That's where the formula is. And that's what we need to put our attention and look around how different groups solve this little issue. Let's for a moment talk about the Amish people. They have sorted out this issue very well. We were this year there studying them. Shamasundra Prabhu, who is sitting here in the audience, he was there with us and a few delegates from different countries. And we spent 2-3 days looking at that. How do they do it? It is amazing. They have no sense of identity crisis. They are so secure within their identity. Everybody has the same hairstyle, same clothes, but no identity crisis. Or we didn't perceive it, very minimum. Why? There is an economical basis very well established underneath them. They produce from the land as much as possible, small cottage industry, but nothing which is too ugra karmic. They have this council of elders who sits and decides, no cell phone, please. And why not? Because once you are hooked, you are hooked. We are more cell phone conscious than Krishna conscious, right? And I had a little, once I forgot my japa, and I was with my shiksha guru in this very trip, and I said, oh, I forgot my japa. And then he looked at me, but I imagine you didn't forget your cell phone. And I hadn't forgotten my cell phone. So if we're just as Krishna conscious, as we are cell phone conscious, we'll be very far in our Krishna consciousness. And the reason, I don't know if you have analyzed why we're so hooked to this. Have you? For managers, you have here all the decision makers at one click. You have everything. You can just sit here and say, you do this, you do that. Thousands of WhatsApp groups, you're managing the whole thing. Yes, this is the ultimate. And all in one little device. You're sitting here, carrying your pocket, and all of a sudden your office comes out. Right? So how are you going to let this go? If you're a teenager, all your friends, all your hangout contacts, the late happenings is right there. You can't miss that comment. You have to like it. If you don't like it, you stayed behind. So you're there, right? You're here, but you're already thinking, I have to like something on my Facebook or whatever. Instagram. Facebook is for old people like us, right? So we are completely hooked to this. We're talking about organic food. You're not talking about radiation, how it kills you. But it's killing us. So the real point is we are not analyzing selective technology. We are accepting wholesale. We look at that picture and you see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur bought a beautiful Henry, I don't know if it's a Henry Ford, but he bought a beautiful car in Navadvip when everybody was going around in chadars. And that was a revolution. He brought a Western toilet. And he had this lunch, top-of-the-art lunch for rich people, just to receive the Calcutta businessman. But mind you, once he went by car to a program, when the program finished, he said, the car can go alone. We have accomplished the mission of the car. We'll walk back. It's walking distance. We don't need the car anymore. That's Yukta Vairagya. So in the name of Yukta Vairagya, we have entered into a journey which robs our autonomy. We become enslaved by technology, by devices. And they dominate the way you think, the way you work, because you have to respond to it. Right? If you're a businessman with no LinkedIn, who are you? And then you go on. So it's very interesting to use this thing as tools, but to become them, that's the problem. And Prabhupada says, use Rolls-Royce, don't become Rolls-Royce. So the Amish people understood this way back. They said, wait a minute. If we go into this joyride of technology, 300 years, we've disappeared from the map. Who are we? So they choose very well what they can use, what they cannot use. Point number one. Point number two, it's family-based. They are grihasthas, they produce, and they give in charity. For example, let's say we were an Amish assembly, and by a terrible problem, Mohan's house was in fire today, and he has no place to go back. Not a problem. All the gentlemen here get together and says, tomorrow be in your house, and we'll rebuild it. For free. So that's the level of technology, social technology they have developed for the Vaishya sector of society. And how do they do it? So simple. Everybody got a house. For every $1,000, you pay a dollar of, not insurance, they call security program. So when they sum up so many families, the number of accidents is small compared to the number of donors. So in the end, they have a surplus, which they just say, no problem. Our friend, Confirm. Our friend who hosted us, the Amish man, he just said, my roof was burned the next day, not the next day, the very day. 72 Amish men came to my house. Not only men, they brought the materials, and by evening time, my roof was fixed. Talk about social technology. Name one insurance company in the world who can do that. Bring the name and I'll look at it. So they have mastered that ashram because the family is stable. They're producing. Therefore, they can give without a problem because they have excess. It's not a problem. So that's situation number one, fire emergencies. Situation number two, health problems. All pay insurance. I know, I'm sure many of you do pay health insurance. They don't. Deliberately. What do? For small bills, the family pays. But let's say by some chance of destiny, some of us in this community was hospitalized and the bill was going to £200,000. They get together and they share the bill. says, you shouldn't pay 200,000 pounds for medical. We all share. And everybody puts in something. So there's just types of technologies which they have developed which secures the unit. So the producing unit is stable, it's not in anxiety, it's completely legitimate and functional. Now you say, they're very different, who's attracted? We are missionaries, we preach, they don't. Fair enough, that's a good argument. But just see, every year, first of all our assets in the ISKCON world is estimated around $2 billion. Our temples, our, you know, the non-movable assets, not considering branding, people, etc. Just the, every year, the Amish people collect $2 billion from tourism. People who want to see them. I just want to see the Amish, so I pay for a visit. In fact, in America, there's two symbols of American life. Disney World and the Amish. Now, that's the kind of preaching too, isn't it? If someone comes to you and pays $2 billion to see you, that's a strategy. And they didn't start off like that. They were basically unknown. And they got known because there was a lot of pressure for them going to schools, regular schools. And they thought, if we go to regular schools, our value is going to be twisted. Very soon we disappear from the surface. So they fought. They were imprisoned. And when they were imprisoned, the neighbors fought the court cases. How can you put these people who are religious, they're praying, they're sharing, and you want to put them in prison? You must be out of your mind. So the neighboring community did make a petition to send them away. We had this problem. They made a petition to keep them in because of their values, integrity, the integrity of the Grihastha Ashram. So that's a huge next step for us. And that's why when we talk about an ashram, many people go back to a farm in the attempt to get that unit set. But that unit is based on community. And community is based on support, leadership. Without leadership and support, there's no community. Isn't it? Niv Rajadam can stamp on it. So, this verse, which is defining this aspect of Vanashram, it's clear to us. There's no issue about it. We discuss it very easily. But when we go down to the next layer, which is the Vaishyas, that's where the real challenge is. Because we will mix the Vaishya realm with the temple realm, and that's where there'll be conflict of interest. Or we'll let the Vaishya be and extend no support. So the support system is not in place for the Vaishyas. Because remember, they're independent people. They need space. If they have space, they will flourish. If you want to put them in a box, you lose them. Typical example, we start a shop, it's going well. The person running the shop is very good at business. The business is flourishing. When it hits a certain point, the temple kind of like the police car. Let's have a chat. And you say, what did they do wrong? And all of a sudden you feel that your revenue now has to... So that robs the enthusiasm of that person. So that relationship between the temple and the Vaishya community needs to be very clear. And when that's in place, then the production can take place. Remember, the British people went to India because they are looking at the production. Gujarat alone was sending 3 million garments of cloth, like when the Britishes were, versus 100,000 of England, France, Russia, together. So 3 million to 100,000 is quite a difference. Gujaratis are ahead of us in many aspects. So it's when the production is in place that we have a solid base to nurture the system. Right now, we depend on people who have jobs and they give donations, or they're maximum good business people, wealthy business, who give donations. But they're also subjected to the system. So that brings us to a point which you can continue on another day, which we did talk on the wisdom. What is it, wisdom? Krishna wisdom. I was invited to speak about cow protection on the Krishna wisdom. And we brought two concepts, entropic and syntropic. Entropic energy is that energy you use once it's finished. Example, the petrol all of you used to come here. That's gone. You have to work again to put more petrol. That petrol is not going to reproduce in your tank. And now you come, oh, the tank is full all of a sudden. What happened? No, it's entropic. How does it come? Dig deep, bring an entropic energy, purify it, spend a lot of energy, pollute the planet, blah, blah, blah. Find its inner gas, you use it, pollute a little more, and then that's it. It's entropic. It's always ending. Therefore, it's scarcity. It's going to finish. Have you ever heard of someone who got more money in his monthly wage and said, hey, I've got extra money, let's give it out. Have you seen that often? Just got a raise, I got triple salary. You know what? It's time to give my funds away. Have you seen that? No, you haven't. Why? We are dealing with entropic energy. But have you seen a farmer who's got 3,000 pumpkins? Please take one. It's going to rot. I really like you to have one. I've seen so many cases. Oh, you rushed it now. Started with pumpkins, right? They grew pumpkins as a commercial business. And the size of the pumpkin wasn't right. They ended up with, I don't know how many thousands pumpkins. They were drinking pumpkin soup, pumpkin halva, pumpkin everything. Ladies with this pumpkin for beauty spa. So they, please take the pumpkins, it's yours. Why is that? Syntropic. You put a seed of pumpkin, the pumpkin gives you at least 500 seeds of pumpkins. You have 500 plants of pumpkins. And then it goes on. Prabhupada gives the example of the banyan tree. It's on your finger. He says, this seed is very tiny, has a forest inside. And that forest can perpetuate itself. So that's a syntropic movement. So we as a movement are dependent on entropic energies. And that's why it's lacking. That's why it's... But once we go to syntropic energy, producing, then we've got grains and we've got milk, which is so desired for Krishna. So desired for Krishna. Because that's how the pastimes happen, how the preparations offered to the deities happened. And we need to work on that. Therefore, as a ministry, we are working very hard to reach out all the communities and say, let's think together. That's where the flourishing age of the movement will come from. Because one thing is to be there as a temple and generate donation systems, which is what it should be. But if it's being generated from primary sector in the agriculture, the land, the cows, that wealth is permanent and multiplying. And that's the shift that ISKCON has to make now. So we are in the ministry launching many ideas to help out the projects. Be part of it. Help communities. Help farming, help goshalas, help. Because without cow protection, our civilization drops. There's no Brahminical culture without cow protection. Prabhupada is very clear on that. So then that's where the Varnashram system has a bottleneck. It's our bottleneck. We have to look around. We have to apply ourselves and start looking at it as a system. The Varnashram system is a system. Integrated, which works perfectly well. And I'll end here because there might be some questions or some comments or some corrections also well accepted. Hare Krishna. Any questions?